known when you walk the path of the darkness. If you walk down your hall to go to sleep, as all the scary things come out, we'll be watching you. There is no escape as you take that walk into the darkness. Into the unknown.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? This is Troy from WCPRS with another episode of Into the Unknown with our guests, Tom and Colleen. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing excellent, Troy. How are you doing today?
I am doing pretty good, I guess. It's raining like cats and dogs here in California, so it's been a little rough.
It's sunny and hot here.
It's sunny, hot, muggy here in Florida. So
you need to send some of that over here because California weather doesn't exist this year for some reason. I'm not sure what's happened.
Right. Exactly. So
let me just see here. So I was looking at your guys' team name, and it's very interesting. What is your team name, and how did you guys come up with that?
Well, it's Unearthly Perimeters. And actually, it's a funny story because Colleen came up with actually the word unearthly.
Right.
So what we were doing, we were trying to come up with the second part of unearthly. Well, we're sitting on my front porch and we're going through names after names after names. Unearthly something. Well, my dog was actually going around my property and I was like telling Colleen, I was like, he's checking out the perimeter. And she's like, oh my God, that sounds good. Unearthly Perimeters. So the dog is actually has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty cool. It's definitely a different way of, coming up with the name compared to like ours. We just took West Coast Paranormal Research Site and just shortened it down to WCPRS. But it's, we almost registered West Coast Paranormal Research Site and we're like, who is ever going to type that in? And who's going to remember that? You know, it's four letters or five letters is so easy compared to, you know, some of the names I've seen out there. I'm like, nobody's ever going to remember that.
It's too long.
And when I bought the domain name, actually, for Unearthly Perimeters, I tried doing UEP, but that was taken. So, unfortunately, you have to spell it out when you do unearthlyperimeters.com and all that stuff. And when you go to Twitter and stuff, it's UEP or UE perimeters. So, so as we can get it and we, you know, by keeping it simple,
I'll let you in on a secret. Just use the word official in front of it and you should be fine.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point.
Yeah. When people steal my names that I used to have, then I just re-registered as the official Troy Tag, you know, or whatever it happens to be because, it's me, so I mean I'm the official, you know, and it works out.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's a good point, you know. So in unearthlyperimeters.com, we're working on the website now, and there's a lot of projects we're working on currently. So everything will be up and running soon. The YouTube videos and all that stuff. So we're working on a podcast ourselves. Yeah. So
very cool.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, it's always fun, the podcast. We used to do them every Tuesday night for years, and we were on a radio station in Kansas and a couple other places, and it was a lot of fun. And then, you know, life happened, and things got busy, and things went to the wayside, and, you know, it's like, well.
I binged on iTunes listening to you a couple of your episodes quite a few, as many as I can find.
Yeah, there's something missing. A lot of them went straight to the radio station, so we didn't have those. But the ones that we did after, there's not a ton of them. But if I start doing one or two a week, they'll pile up pretty quickly now on iTunes. I believe maybe tomorrow I might be doing another one with another group. So, you know, it's stockpiling, and then, you know, every week I just upload one, do four or five.
I loved it. You go right to the point, and I love that.
Well, the one that caught my eye, or my ear, I'm sorry, is the one with the Tabitha House I was listening to.
Yeah, that was good.
And that was a real good episode. You know, that's the one that really,
did we talk,
that I really liked.
Did we talk about all the girls' underwear everywhere?
Troy, you got it.
That was the most interesting case, walking into a off-campus sorority house, and it was crazy, you know?
Yeah, I have selective hearing, so that's what got my ear. So, what, talking about girls' underwear and stuff, you know. College girls' underwear, I'm in.
And you know,
I don't care what it is, paranormal, not paranormal.
All right.
And we're in.
It was funny because we told them ahead of time, like, you know, make sure there's no animals and stuff. And they're like, well, we have a cat and we got nowhere to, you know, take him. And I'm like, all right, well, one cat, no big deal. We'll just make notes of everything and you know, keep an eye. And, me and two of the other investigators, God, I don't remember their names anymore. Whew, it's been so long ago, but we were in the bedroom and I was holding the cat because I have tons of cats myself. I'm a cat person. And the cat was just like, oh yeah, this is fun. Pet, pet, pet. And all of a sudden the cat freaked out and just like ripped me to shreds and jumped off. And we're like, what the heck? And I said something. And there was this really creepy voice all of a sudden that just came across like, here, kitty, 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 or something like that. At the same time that that happened, the EVP is actually on our website, but whatever it was scared the hell out of the cat, and the cat just ripped me to pieces. Like, I'm like, oh, okay.
Wow.
But
so Troy, I got a question. What brought you into the paranormal world? What made you decide to...
All the,
I was going to ask him that, but...
All the really hot and sexy girls. No, I'm just kidding.
right. Hear that.
All the sorority. I mean, I knew from the beginning that it was just going to be sorority house after sorority house, you know. And I guess paranormal has been around for me for a really long time as a young kid, living in the same house all my life, 51 years almost now. And when I was about 9 or 10, before we remodeled the house to what it looks like kind of now, I used to have my old stereo in the back, and I used to just go in there and, you know, play my Zeppelin album stuff. And one day all the doors slammed on me and there was nothing else open from the outside. You know what I mean? Cause when I told my mom, she's like, oh, well, maybe the back door is open. I'm like, there was nothing open. You know, and that was kind of my first thing. And just throughout life, I've always had like, I mean, I'm not a medium or sensitive. I just have feelings for bad things. Mm-hmm. And it was always bad freaking things. You know, it wasn't like, oh, yeah, there's something good here. You know, it was like, there is something bad here, you know, and it was just a feeling, you know. And as years progressed, my mom passed away and a couple of days before Christmas in 94, and I had some friends over and we were just like, oh, let's just go to Toys R Us and get a Ouija board, you know, let's just whatever, have fun as kids, you know. And we were playing with it and it started telling me that my mom was there and, you know, was trying to suck us in. We're already a little too smart for that, but it was trying to do its thing. And it basically went from that to I am Satan, this, that. The room started getting, you know, ice cold. You could see your breath. And the prechette was going so fast by then that we couldn't even hold it. And it just kind of flew off the board and we bailed. Like, we just left the house. I believe we went to Taco Bell and had food, you know. And if we were old enough,
Taco Bell.
Yeah, we might have, you know, pop a couple of Xanax to, you know. It's like, but it was really an experience. And when we came back an hour later, that room was still cold. And after that, it was like it was still kind of there. And you know, we got rid of the Ouija board and stuff, but then we started having problems with dark shadows on the walls, weird stuff going on, things disappearing. The house just became a like this really bad thing, really bad place. And it didn't bother anybody but me. I would wake up in the middle of the night with the most awful feeling that it didn't want me in there. And it would basically with all the lights out and pitch black while you're sleeping, the shadows were darker than the darkest, you know, part of the night in the room. And I would just get up and go in the living room. I felt fine in the living room, but I could not sleep for like a year. And finally I'm like, screw this. I'm taking my stuff back. You know, I'm not going to let this, you know, rule my place anymore. And, you know, kind of the paranormal thing started with the, you know, started researching, looking into stuff. And as we went, we started doing investigations and bringing more people in. And, you know, we had a demonologist, we had all kinds of stuff. We had like 30 something people at one point on our team, you know?
Yeah. Definitely strike up your curiosity as a kid.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's like, you know, with some of the weird stuff that's happened and, we've caught a lot of EVPs just in our house because we used to use our house as a training area because there was so much activity. And, you know, we caught little girls. I've seen a half of a little girl walk down my hallway one morning.
We were talking about that. We were talking about that the other night on the phone.
Yeah. And it's like all of a sudden it's right after I finished my remodel here and we were getting ready to move everything back from living in the living room that got done first back into the back part of the house. And I was by the front door and I kind of looked and there was this thing that looked like Jack Skeleton's legs. It just came out of her clothes and went right through the wall. And I was just like, huh? Cause now it doesn't faze me anymore. I mean, paranormal stuff doesn't faze me anymore. It's kind of like something happens and I'm just like, huh? You know what I mean? It, after so many years. Yeah. It's like, somebody's like, oh, did you see the girl was floating over there? Huh? Really? Okay. Well,
I tell you what, if I saw that, you might as well call the meat wagon.
It's like, you're done. Right?
I'm done. Okay. I'm done. All right. If I see some legs coming out of all freaking, all the closet, sit, done. Okay. You. And a little kid run down the hall. I don't know. I can't. I'm moving. You ever see the cartoon where the Roadrunner runs to the wall? You see the imprint. You know that would be me.
And you know what's funny is stuff like that doesn't bother me. What bothers me more is sleeping in a dark room by myself. Yeah, that's just one of those things. You know, I have to have my iPad on, or I can't sleep. It's just mind starts racing about things. But
I'm the same exact.
Don't bother me.
You know, like I was doing my investigation over there in the graveyard last Saturday, and I'm nose to nose. I turn around, and I look at this, and I'm staring and nose to nose with this apparition. I mean, just staring at me. And I sent you guys the clip, and I was, what the hell? I was totally spooked, and I'm like, the hair was standing up on my head, and I'm like, I didn't know how I would react to it. But I actually am pretty proud of myself. I did pretty good because it was about 15 minutes into the investigation. And then I was there for another hour and a half. So, but for that, I mean, I just felt it was right next to me. I turned my head. I go, what's that? And I turn my head and it's staring right at me. And I'm like, oh, shoot. You know, and I'm like, what the hell? And I'm telling my guy, you know, my friend with me, no, you stay here right now with me. Don't leave my side. You know, so if.
I'm proud of you.
You know, wait until you get your first, you know, scratches down your back or something and see how you feel after that.
Well, that's the problem I'm going to have. I mean, like I was telling you the other night, Troy, is I'm a little bit of on the, how do you say it? Like, I want to call them out. You know, Colleen gets mad at me. Don't say no. Don't call them out. What if it attaches itself to you? You walk up to something bad.
They're already disgruntled.
Yeah, but I want to call it. You know, that might be the problem with me. So I might have to get
that from somebody. That's the same with me. I would go in and I was that guy. I would start off nice and go through. Yeah. But as the night progressed and if nothing was really going on, then you'd be a little more forceful in your questions. And that's how I ended up getting kind of possessed on my, one of the cases. And I believe it might be audio. I know we have the video somewhere. I took them down because, it just got too many you know, comments because it's so bizarre and just all the hate. It was more hate stuff than there was like, holy crap, what happened to you? Nobody cared what happened to me, you know? I was like, oh, you're faking it. I'm like, damn, if I could fake that, I'm a damn good actor. Maybe I should go to Hollywood.
We're actually that status now, as we're over so many followers now, we're getting a lot more trolls and haters on there.
It's okay though.
Oh, I don't care.
Yeah.
It shows me who they are.
It's just one of those things, you know, and I get like, it was a Native American case and, you know, at this house, they have a hallway between the front of the house and the bedrooms from the living room. And they have two huge, mean, scary Doberman Pinschers, right? Mean looking freaking dogs. And as soon as nighttime comes and that hallway gets that look, the dogs, you can play with the ball in the living room. As soon as that ball hits that hallway, the dog's like, you know, they won't go down it. And when we were investigating, it was crazy because all of a sudden we could see to the back of the room, no problem, down the hallway. And then as things started getting really sketchy, that hallway got darker and darker and darker to where all of a sudden you couldn't see anything through there. And we're like, huh, this is really, and then you know, your hair standing up. And we had a couple of cases where back when we used to use tri-field meter, you could hear it, you know, going off. And we're like, but never caught any EVPs from that. But that's when I went down there and I made the mistake of saying three things. Let's see if I can even remember. It was something about, I'm going to steal your land. I'm going to take your horses and something. And I don't remember the next couple of hours after that. And they have it all on video. Started going from talking like this to sounding like I just drank a fifth of Jack Daniels. Like I wasn't making sense. I was slurring words. I couldn't stand up. I was gone. And this is what you have to be careful, because this is how you get possessed. This is how something takes you over. And that's what it was trying to do. And it was literally 2 hours outside of that house with my other teammates talking to me. And, you know, a lot of some of the girls were freaking out and crying. I mean, there was like this whole scene, but it was, I still do it, but I'm very cautious now in what I do and where I do it. I made a mistake of doing it there and saying what I did. But the second time we went back to their house, I was afraid to go in the house. We got there and I'm like, I don't think I can go in, guys. I'm going to have to be outside. You know, and they're like, ah, come on. Yeah. You know, and finally I went in, I was just like, it was scary when you have that sort of,
it affects you.
Yeah. It's people don't understand how bad it can be, but I am that guy as well. Like, you know, it's,
bring it.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And then sometimes the other side goes, well, this is what we're going to do to you now for doing this, you know? I tell people now, I go, you got to be respectful, because one day you're going to do what I did and get your butt kicked and be like, and what do you do if you go to the doctors? Well, there might be something attached to them from, you know, the doctor's going to be like, yeah, let's just throw them for a 5150. You know, or something. And, but we always had like a demonologist a lot of times with us. And, and the only thing that helped at that house is, we had her get in contact with a shaman and he came down and took care of it. And he said, yeah, there was a Native American spirit. That's what she told us that he said. And, where they built the houses, the guy found Native American remains, but never said anything when they were building the houses. So he basically built over burial ground. And in that neighborhood, if you look up, I believe it's Menifee, California, or Menifee, there's a lot of Native American stuff there. And there's actually, in that neighborhood, there is a huge prayer rock. It has a fence around it with FBI warnings and everything. It's federally protected. So it's definitely Native American land in that area.
Wow.
And just to show you how crazy it is, our first trip out there, when this all happened, when we were driving in, we had two cars full of investigators and team members and stuff. And We were on the phone with her towards the last part because there's all these turns and we're like, okay, we don't want to get lost. And so as we came around the corner, we're like, oh, it must be this house because we see all these people inside. We see lights on and everything. And we're like, wow, you know, do they have a bunch of people over or something? And we're like, oh, is this your house on the right here? And then she goes, no, 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 you see me? I'm waving my hand. So she was over on the left, five more houses down, right? So we roll into her place and we're like telling her, you know, hey, well, we thought you were over there because, you know, seeing all the people and blah, blah, blah. And she's basically like, nobody lives in that house. And we're like, what? We look back, it's pitch black. There's no one there. So now we started investigating. We started our thing. But then as we took breaks, a bunch of us went over to that house. There was no lights. There's no power meter yet. There's nothing. So that whole neighborhood is like whacked out. It was just like, holy crap. And I guess she said a lot of people have issues in that neighborhood with paranormal stuff. So yeah, maybe you shouldn't build houses on top of stuff. I mean,
yeah.
Well, that's a lot of Florida. So,
well, it's like in that movie, Poltergeist, they built it on Indian, you know,
right. Yeah. You move the headstones, but not the bodies. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's kind of, you know, it's scary though, but yeah, I mean, you know, before we stopped doing the investigation and stuff, you know, when we used to go to any investigation we went to, I always told anybody that was on the team or new members, you know, all the stuff to watch out for, be careful going downstairs, always hold onto the rail in case something tries to push you or anything, that at least you're not going to go head first, you know, and it always had this little speech that I would go over everything because you just never know what kind of crazy nonsense you're going to run into, or, you know, you never know if you're going to run into a homeless person inside of a building that you're in, or, you know, squatters or somebody. And
why we're getting our guns.
Right. Yeah. We had two cops on our team. So yeah, they were always carrying. So that was a good
thing. We're in Florida. So we can have guns here in Florida. So
I have my mace with me all the time on the keychain.
Well, you guys are in the South, right? So, you know,
right. Well, yeah.
Try me.
It's like Florida, Texas, you know, all those states, people carrying guns everywhere. It's like,
it's all the same, but different.
Yeah. I think we can have guns in California carried. You have to have like a really good reason, I think.
Well, if it's anything like New York, take it, you know, 1,000 years to even get the permit to even get the gun, you know.
Yeah, so, I don't even think they sell guns in New York City, do they? Isn't it kind of illegal there?
No, it's one of the toughest gun laws in, besides Chicago and a lot of other places, but probably one of the strictest gun laws in the country is New York.
I mean, there's already enough violence. I mean, it's not that bad. I mean, I lived there for a little while and, well, for my career, I went there a lot and I would stay at places in like the Bronx, Harlem, the Lower East Side, just outside, you know, the projects, but I never had a problem. You know what I mean? I never had an attitude. You know what I mean? I act like I should be there and didn't act like a tourist. But 20 years ago, I'd probably been shot. You know, I'd have been the only white guy in probably, you know, the Bronx or Harlem too, you know. But it's not as bad as it used to be. I think right now, 21. Oh, God, what was it? It was just on the news. I don't know if you guys seen it. New York is always famous for everything, right? The mumps or the measles outbreak started in New York again. 21 people are infected. I'm like going, damn, man. And when I was there like 4 years ago, the day I left on the plane, when I landed back in LA, there was a huge outbreak. I'm like, geez, man. I'm like, I'm glad I got out when I did, you know. It was just like,
it's a good thing.
Scam comes from New York, right? Every time you get those emails or those phone calls, always a freaking New York number. I'm like, and I have a New York number. So people are like,
well, why think all like when, you know, the immigrants that where they land in New York is because it's one of the states, probably one of the, actually, if not the only state well, one of the biggest states where you can make the most illegal money.
Yes.
You know, so there's always a scam going on up there. That's all it is, the scams, you know.
There's definitely a lot. I remember when I was living on the Lower East Side, there was and I walked right past that all the time. And I never knew that it was there because it was like just a door with no name. But they busted one of the biggest bathhouse type gay sex slave slash something thing. I forgot. It was all over the news. And Kat called me and I'm like, yeah, I go, that's two blocks from where I live, you know, where that was all like going on. I go, it's just another day in New York. I mean, you know.
Just another day in the Big Apple.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. You know,
I'm actually from Long Island, Suffolk County. So about 50 miles from the city. So
I grew up in New Jersey.
Ah, New Jersey. Jersey.
New Jersey.
Start getting set up with the, oh God, what was that freaking show?
Jersey
situation,
Shore.
Yeah. Everything that New Jersey could have been good for, then that show came out, and people are like, "Oh, that's New Jersey, I guess." You know what I mean?
It's aren't like, they all from New York?
Well, Snooki's from Poughkeepsie.
It was
just filmed in Jersey.
They're not from.
They all went to Jersey.
You know. It was like my favorite show, Troy. I mean, what do you guys talk about? Right.
I
just wanted to get in there and knock them all out myself.
You know, I mean, it was great.
But
you know,
if you're in Long Island, now you grew up there?
Yeah.
Now, how many trips did you ever make? You know, when I was there the first time, I wanted to go, but I know nothing about the subways and the LR whatever train and
the Long Island Railroad.
Yeah, because I wanted to go to Amityville, right? That's in.
Well, that's I used to work in Amityville, actually in Huntington. It's right off of Route 110 in Nassau County. I worked at a place called PC Richards Warehouse Distribution. I was doing security there, and I didn't realize it at the time. And well, one town over from Huntington was Amityville. So I was talking to some of the people at this distribution center and I was doing security and they go, well, yeah, you just go down there and maybe, you know, make a left, make a right, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So I did, I went down there. I went right and saw the house. It's a lot different now, you know?
Yeah. They took all the windows out and everything, right?
Yeah. They remodeled and stuff like that. So it was, but it's definitely neat. There was actually some other people there sightseeing as well, seeing the house and stuff. And, but it was pretty cool. But yeah, Amityville, right? It's right there on Long Island, right next to Huntington.
I still think that's a lot of hoaxy stuff. You know, it's, if you look into it enough, there was a lot of, there was more description on what happened than there was, you know, it became Hollywood, you know, money.
Well, that was the thing. They sold the rights and, you know, the book deals and stuff like that. But didn't the Warrens, weren't they the ones that investigated that?
Yeah, but, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you never know about, you know, for my group, my personal group is very scientific. So, you know, no mediums, no psychics, no certain machines. We don't use the ghost boxes. And well, those things didn't even exist back then, but it's so, how can I put it? I've worked with people that are sensitive, are mediums and stuff. And I've never been able to catch anything, no matter if they say there's something standing here, I'm hearing this. You know what I mean? I never get that stuff. So we did it more the scientific way. If a door slams, then, you know, we're out with the levels and stuff and see if the door is off or if there was a draft. And people take that a little more, I think, when they look at it than other ways of investigating. I mean, I did an investigation for a TV show. I don't remember what it was. It was a pilot for something. It was our team versus the psychic team. And we didn't find any evidence, but the psychic said that there was people there from the 1600s and They had a really awesome story, and I was just like, well, yeah, we're not going to get no show out of this. They're going to get it, you know, because we had nothing. There was nothing that we could get scientifically, but they had, you know, their findings or their written thing was all this stuff was going on in there, and we're like, well, we can't compete with that, you know, but it's one of those things where I have another friend, and she's a, I don't know if she's a medium or a sensitive, but you know, that's their group and that's what they do. But they also use the spirit box and stuff too, you know?
I want to apologize to you and your viewers. I do have a freight train coming by.
There's a train going by.
Sweet. So if you want to apologize.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're here in Florida. That's all we have is freight trains. I hate them.
We don't want to mute you.
Freight trains and Walmart. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah, trains and Walmart. That's exactly the casting call for The Walking Dead.
Exactly. It's like, but that's kind of the thing with groups that do, and even the girl that's on our team that hears things and stuff, she still investigates like we do. But after the fact, she'll say, oh, you know, I heard this and that. I wrote it down. See if you can find it on the tape, if there was anything. Then her coming out and just being like, oh, there's a person standing there and it's saying this. And, you know what I mean? Changing the investigation, where it was heading or whatnot. It's so different the way that we did it because we watch so much TV. I've worked on Ghost Hunters. I've worked on Destination. I've worked on all these shows and I see how they work and it's definitely entertaining. Right. You know what I mean? It's not what you guys would think.
Exactly.
And it's always funny when people are like, no, it's all 100% legit. And I'm like, oh, okay. Good luck with that.
Reality. Yeah, right. It's reality TV.
Yeah. And, you know, I had a hard time with all this stuff that went on because it's like, you want to talk about it. It's like, oh my God, did you know what they did on that show? You know, it's
jumping through windows to go, open, you know, slam a door and jumping back out the window, you know, making stuff up.
I mean,
I'd be
our ball game either.
Well, plus I'd be a horrible man. I'd get stuck in the window. So, you know, I'm a little bit on the fluffier side. Okay. Well, no, the doctor says I'm just too short. If I was taller, well, I'm 6'4" now. So if I was like 9'3", I'd be all right.
You'd be all right, right?
I'd be fit right into my body.
Just use the Cartman excuse. Just I'm big boned, you know?
Well, it's funny because when I first met Colleen, she moved into this, into our,
I'm his neighbor.
Yeah. This is like 12, 13 years ago. And she moved in next door. And I'm like, well, I went to the hospital. So, but I saw her moving in. I'm like, oh, this hot girl. I got to talk to her.
Whatever.
But my throat closed up because I had allergic reactions, some stitches or whatever. So for some whatever reason, when I came pulling up into the driveway, I was able to talk to her. And I was like, well, I got to kind of suck the stomach in somehow. You know, I got to, you know. She said hi. And I go, don't worry.
I'm your new neighbor.
I got stung by bees. Okay. I'm just a little swollen right now. The swelling will go down. So that would give me enough time to go in the house and do some sit-ups and of course.
Right. I was like, what? I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry that happened. And then I was like, he went inside, whatever. We chatted for a bit and I'm going, that is funny. that is what scares me. That is hilarious.
The hiccup almost came.
Yeah.
But
I'm gonna have to remember that. That's a good one.
Yeah, just stung by bees. You know,
my allergic reaction.
I was trying to figure
out. I'm a lot
out,
skinnier, he said.
I was trying to figure out how I can lose massive weight real quick. You know, if I go inside.
I'm just a new girl on the street. You know?
If I can go inside real quick, do about, I don't know, 1,500 push-ups, maybe I could get down to my goal weight real quick and come back outside and say, hey, how's it going? The swelling came down. I took some.
Then that was it. We were instant friends. Bonfires together all the time. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool, though. That's what a way to meet, right?
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Gotta love that.
I went in. Oh. Okay.
I don't think I've ever had an experience like that.
Well, it's always, you know, it's always a treat. You know, it's always a treat around us. So.
Oh, God.
Never a dull moment.
And everywhere we go, we make friends. Everywhere. Yes, everywhere.
Oh, so, you gotta love that.
Something always happens. Yeah, something always happens.
Right. Something always happens.
So I was going to ask you guys, what are you guys looking forward to investigating? Have you guys had any thoughts on any cool places like, I call them TV places now because all the cool places that weren't TV places are now TV places and charge, you know. When we used to ghost hunt, nothing costs money. You could go anywhere for free, you know.
Well, that's what I'm going to avoid. Is I'm not, you know, I don't want to go in these places and pay an arm and a leg to go and do some paranormal research. You know, if I can go to some abandoned houses or abandoned warehouses for right now and do that, you know, eventually as we're building our brand and building our name, you know, that will come down the road, you know, where they'll pay us to go in their place, you know. So, you know, I mean, well, that's not what we're looking for. We're not looking for money. We're not
looking for the experience.
We're looking for the experience. We're looking for the explore. And I want to see the country. I want to see different places, you know. I'm in the history. Colleen's in the history.
Big time.
You know, so this is kind of why we got into this. You know, originally I was actually going to become a truck driver just to go around the world to see, or around the country to see different parts of the country. Because I haven't been at, Troy, I've never been at the East Coast.
Oh, wow.
You know, and as I told you earlier, now that I'm, you know, I'm fighting and beating this cancer, you know, life's too short. So I have to, I have to keep moving forward, and I have to keep, I want to see different places and, you know, and, We'll get there, you know. We'll get to those places, you know, the lighthouses and the old like St. Augustine forts and all those places on Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures. Listen, we'll get there, you know. But right now, we're going to keep it small, simple, and do what we have to do, and you know, keep it simple.
Just bring your checkbook.
Yeah, well, you know, that don't work. I'll handle that.
As soon as you mention Ghost Hunter places, you know, because of the show, it's like. Cha-ching, you know, how much, I mean, Stanley.
My favorite is graveyards. My favorite, Troy, is graveyards. I love graveyards.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've only done two or maybe three graveyards and, you know, over our whole thing. It's kind of illegal here. You get arrested and go to jail for being a graveyard here. Even some of the older ones that are open. You know, there's still no trespassing, and as soon as a neighbor calls on you, that's it. You know, cops show up with guns and all that fun
stuff.
Well,
Troy, we have the excuse. We're from out of town, so we don't know what's going on. We don't. It's the chemo.
Right. So, like, hey, you know, it's, but I know,
we're from out of town.
I know, when I was in New York, I was going to hit up some of the paranormal groups in New York, and I kept forgetting. Because I was curious, like, where do you guys ghost hunt when it's all freaking high-rises everywhere, you know? Do you go to Brooklyn or do you go, you know, away from the city, you know, to ghost hunt? Because, I mean, you know, Manhattan, the island there, it's it's mostly big buildings, you know?
Well, I can tell you this, Troy. One of my – I had a poltergeist experience. I was doing security, and right around that town, Amityville in Huntington, there was a big industrial park. Where Coca-Cola is and a big IBM and stuff like that. And what I used to do is I used to go after all the employees left, I would go into these big offices and big warehouses and set the security alarms and leave. Well, Troy, doors were opening by itself. Things were going on, flickering lights and all kinds of crazy stuff spooked me out. I called the security company. I said, I'm not doing this no more. I'm done. If somebody's coming here, well, what? They're coming in because I'm not going in this place. I'm sorry. Well, you know, Tom, you need to get in there or, you know, we're going to have to let you go. Oh, let me go because I'm not dealing with this. What I just saw, because I'll tell you what, a couple of years ago, Troy, I don't think I would be doing this. I really wouldn't. I was scared. I was scared of my own shadow at night.
That's
you know,
I'll hand it to you.
You know, so when it came to the paranormal stuff, no. Like when my mom died 3 years ago, she died of lung cancer. And I told her, Mom, I love you. but I don't want to see you right now. You know, it's like, right. I love you, but I'll see you. I'm gone. You know, I don't want you to. My mom, she screwed me up when I was a little kid. She and my grandmother really messed with my head. They'd like to scare me and all this stuff, you know. And, you know, next thing I know, my mom, you know, her ghost self coming around the corner and going, boo, you know, that's it. I'm done. I'm done.
Right.
And she's mask in the window.
Oh, yeah. She's put this load of, oh, great. They just torment. I was traumatized.
Little Tommy.
Little big
Tommy. Wow.
You know.
You know, so, there's a place. It's a college now, but it used to be the Camarillo State Mental Hospital here in California. And a couple times we got to go there. One time I was working on a movie and it just happened to be filming there. And I was with my friend. I'm like, dude, this place is supposed to be like off the freaking charts, you know, but of course I couldn't ghost hunt because I'm working on an actual, you know, movie. And in between takes, when we're back at the trailer, I hit up one of the production assistants and I'm like, hey, where's the bathroom at? And she's like, oh, go in that building, go down the hallway until it ends and then make a left to go all the way to the end. There's a bathroom. And I'm like, oh, this would be kind of cool. The all empty buildings, the whole place is deserted since like the 70s or something. And so me and my buddy, we start our way down and we go all the way down, do our thing. We're coming back out. And there's all these like cell doors, you know, for the mental patients, and they just have that little window in them. And
right.
So on the way out, we closed every single one. There was like 50 of them. We closed every single door on the way out. And before we got to the end, we looked back and they were all closed. Literally, we made that right-hand turn to go back out. We heard all this noise. We looked right. back and every door was wide open again. We're like, whoa, dude. Yeah, it's like, holy crap. And then after filming, we started like, hey, how can we get into this place? And they wouldn't let anybody in because of asbestos and a bunch of other stuff in the older building. So one of my friends like, dude, I sneak in there all the time. I'm like, I don't want to really do that because that's kind of like breaks all the rules of being a true investigator. You know, it's not good to be arrested, you know. And
yeah, no.
We're like, ah, screw it. This is like, you know, the place. And we went into one of the old buildings and we're in there. We got some crazy stuff. There was voices yelling back at us from the distance to questions and stuff. And next thing we hear is the cops. Come out now. We're sending the dogs in. We're like, fuck. It's like, well, I guess the night's over. Yeah, but they ended up being really cool. Like, hey, what are you guys doing? You know, ghost hunting.
Here comes Sparky.
Yep. I'm like, oh, man, you know. And but they were really cool about it because I guess people are always trying to get in there to ghost hunt because of the stories and stuff. But if you look it up, even some of the students now that it's Channel Island University, because Camarillo State Mental Hospital is in Channel Island. And also, if you ever watched that show MASH back in the day, when the helicopter flew in, that was Camarillo, right? If where they landed, if you walked down that hill that, you know, even though it looked like it was a huge place, it wasn't. The mental hospital was right at the bottom of that. So while they were filming that, the mental hospital was in full effect of, you know, lobotomies, torture. Well, I guess you would call it torture, you know, shock treatment and all that kind of stuff on patients. Yeah. And so that place, you know, was like one of those crazy places. But working on another TV show, I was basically the paranormal expert. And my job was wherever we went, if it was Alcatraz or, you know, some other place, my job was by myself to go and collect evidence. And some of these places are like old jails. And here I am by myself, no freaking walkie talkie, no nothing, just my tape recorder and a flashlight. And here I went.
Okay.
You know, and it takes a lot for somebody to go into that situation by yourself, you know, with.
Right.
And I wasn't afraid of ghosts. I was more afraid of what was behind every cell door that was open that I couldn't see, you know, squatters, homeless. Right. Wild dogs, I don't know, you know, and but finally I had to tell him, like, dude, I have to have a walkie talkie. If I fall and get hurt or something, you guys will never come looking for me, you bastards.
Yeah, exactly.
But
Troy who?
Yeah, Zach is like, who, you know, but it takes a, and I'm kind of that person sometimes, Rob, if anybody's afraid to go, I'm like, I'll just go. You know what I mean? I'm like,
yeah,
it doesn't bother me as much, but a lot of people will be like, no, I don't want to go through there. I don't want to, you know, and I mean, of course it's better when you have, you know, two or three people with you because, you know, you become braver, you know, with anything, you know, but it's definitely hard. I mean, sometimes when I'm home alone at my own house, I'll be in there and I'll start getting that feeling. I'm like, like, now what the hell is going to happen? You know, and it's, right.
Well, we were just sitting here on the front porch and we were catching a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Before you called.
Right before you called.
Something was standing right in front of me. It said,
wow.
Yeah.
See, that's, it's kind of one of those things where it's just like, oh man, you know, but when it's your own house, it kind of sucks too, because.
Right. Yeah. I got to sleep here.
Yeah. You got to go to bed at some time.
Right.
There's no poltergeist stuff going on in my house. It's just voices and they talk and they whisper, a lot of whispering. I have a big time whisper, like a lot of, you know.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Real nice. I don't know what he's saying.
Maybe you probably don't want to know.
I don't probably. It sounds obnoxious, you know.
I mean,
well, Troy, going back to your question about earlier about what we were looking to do, that was the other thing, is we would like to get involved with somebody like a resident who owns a house that they say it's very haunted. Well, we want to go in there and investigate for them to see what we can capture and, you know, and maybe give them some ease, you know, if we got to call a priest in or something to bless the house and, you know, for them, we can do that, you know, Colleen can do it. She's in path, you know,
Definitely can do it. And I'll look into the history of the house and absolutely.
That's another thing we want to do, you know, and we're not going to charge people, you know, we're not looking to do that, you know.
No, this is all about experience.
So,
yeah. And that's kind of what we did. You know, we started off.
Yeah. The understanding for everybody as well.
Right. And, that's kind of what we did. We started off with houses and it didn't take long because I worked on TV shows and I was on Destination Truth. So West Coast Paranormal became on Sci-Fi. You know what I mean? Like, so we started getting a lot of phone calls for stuff.
That's awesome.
It was like,
yeah, that's great. Awesome.
It was definitely fun. And, you know, we had a couple of the members from from Destination Truth on our team as well. And that was fun. But, you know, it was more people like, oh, my God, I seen you on TV. You know, I'm like, oh, my God, I've become like now. You know what I mean? It's like, I wonder if there's even anything going on here or if they just want to meet us. You know what I mean? Because, oh, you were on that. We seen you on TV. You know, it's but
right.
It was still fun. I mean, we're doing up to 100 cases a year ish, sometimes a little bit more, sometimes a little bit less, depending. And our case manager, she was just on the ball. Like every day she was calling places. She was looking up haunted locations that we could go to for free.
Very cool.
You know, looking up houses. Right. I mean,
very cool.
That's what you almost have to, you know, get enough cases to where you're always busy. I mean, we even had a case where the lady was mentally ill and a couple of my team members like, dude, she is off the charts. I'm like, doesn't matter. Still could be something going on. You know, she was so out of it that she painted her windows white so you couldn't see in or out. She painted all of her TVs white. And some other stuff. And she goes, I don't want them watching me. And we're just like, wow, this, you know, she was really normal when you talk to her, but when you started talking about other stuff, she would get like way out there. And we caught some really awesome evidence as well as, of something walking right past us and down the stairs, but it didn't show up on our video cameras. And we're like, what the heck, man? You know? And later on, literally the same lady, we went there twice or three times. Because once you find a good hot spot, you try to go back as much as you can. And all of a sudden, I get a phone call from this lawyer. I'm like, what the hell is this all about? And I guess her husband was suing her for custody of their kid because she's talking about hearing, seeing ghosts and stuff. And they wanted me to appear in court. And I'm like, well, I don't want to really do that because that's going to be, nobody's going to believe anything. And I go, I'll tell you what, I'll send you all the evidence, the pictures, the audio. At least it's something.
Right, right.
So I can't remember if she ended up with custody of the of her son or not, but just go figure, right? Just out of the blue, a phone call, and it's like, wow. It's like, do you want to be part of something like that or not? You know, that's why I'm like, I'll send you everything.
I totally understand.
Yeah, that's kind of like that's a rough situation, you know.
Yeah, because if you go to court, they're just going to laugh at you. They're going to be like ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
Really. Yeah, no.
Exactly.
But the proof was there, right, Troy? The proof
was there. Well, it doesn't matter if you're going to court. They still think you're a bunch of wackadoodles.
Right.
Yeah, the proof was there.
Loser kid over.
You know, so.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you caught, you know. Oh, you know, the court's not going to see that, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it's always weird stuff going on. It's just a matter of people believe you or not. You know what I mean? We've had skeptics come with us, and sometimes they have nothing happen, and sometimes they do. And it's like, you know, it's, I just figure that people that don't ever think about ghosts have nothing, could care less, never have an experience because they're not looking for it. They're not open to themselves. But the people that are really looking for and open to it seem to have the most, you know, out of everybody.
Right, right.
And like, Kathy's never seen nothing. Never. Out of everything we've been on, she's never had an experience where everybody else has seen things and everything else. And it's just...
Well, that's also a problem with me because I know I've seen things, but I still want to be proven. You know, I still, in a way, kind of a skeptic in a way. You know?
I always felt things.
Right.
You know,
since I was a little kid. Something.
You know, I think, you know, sometimes they're like, well, maybe my eyes were playing tricks on me, or maybe this, maybe that. Sorry for the cars going down the road, Troy. You know, I live on like interstate, you know, it seems like, you know, just high traffic. Let's just go.
Out of nowhere.
Sorry.
I mean, I'm kind of a believer and a non-believer. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, there's conversations we were having the other night. Me and you agree on a lot of that stuff, you know, especially with the, medium stuff, you know. I believe, but I've seen things like in the graveyard Saturday night. I know that was a ghost in front of me, but I still, like, in my mind, like, sometimes my mind says, wait, maybe that wasn't a ghost, maybe you're just mind playing tricks on you, you know. But
and what's funny is I'm the guy that you would tell me that, and I'd be like, dude, you're crazy, man, because I didn't see it, you know what I mean? Like, if I didn't see it, it didn't happen. You know, I have people tell me, like, dude, I was in this thing and we seen this black creature sitting on the tombstone. I'm like, huh. You know what I mean? Because everybody's like that. I mean, a lot of people would just agree because they want to be nice. Like, oh, dude, that's crazy. You know, where other people are just like, oh, yep, they're gone. You know, and it's...
Exactly.
And it's hard.
I usually give them out there.
Right.
But we did catch... We did catch an actual apparition on tape. So we did. And we're going to go back to that location, reshoot that location, use what the evidence we got into a flashback into the new video.
Nice.
And then we're going to upload it.
And so, this thing got on me, and I was like, guys, ready to go.
Well, I felt there was something wrong with her. Because I said, are you all right? And she goes, get in trouble. You know, and I'm like, oh.
You know,
and
y'all are laughing at me, and I'm like, it's time to go. This thing got on me. I'm sorry. You know,
we were next to a swamp, you know, a river here in Florida. It's a big, huge bridge, and it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. We were right under the bridge, where people actually fell to their deaths. I mean, you're talking about 70 feet, 80 feet up in the air.
Yeah.
This bridge is.
Yeah.
And we were right underneath it, right next to this. They call it the Ocklawaha River. You know, and. Well, Florida is, you know, a lot of Native American stuff here in Florida, too, you know, so, but yeah, so we don't know what it was. I know it is. It was a ghost. It was an actual apparition, because I felt it. I said, who's there? And next thing you know, it's on my Instagram account. Everybody can go on the Instagram account and actually look at it, because the little clip's on there. And, and the ghost just kind of floats right by me, right to Colleen, you know.
Nice.
So it was definitely. And I didn't even, and Troy, I didn't even know each other.
Go ahead. He didn't know.
I didn't even know I had it on my, because I was so discouraged of the phone that I was using filming with because of the audio.
Yeah.
And so anyway, we're in Georgia, and Colleen's like, well, let me see all that stuff that you shot, you know, what we went that night. I was like, oh, here you go. Here's my laptop. So she's in there looking at the videos that we shot, and she goes, do you realize what you just caught? Do you realize what you have here? And I'm like, what are you talking about?
I got so mad at him.
She got so mad at me. I'm like, what are you talking about? You have a ghost. I'm
all
like,
this time. All this time.
All this time. All this time. I'm like,
you know something was on me. I told y'all. And I'm like, let me see those videos. There's something up. Absolutely something that night.
Yeah. So I did put a clip of that ghost going right by me. It's on my Instagram account. You can go to Unearthly Perimeters on Instagram. It's public, open to public. So you guys can go on there and take a look at it. But sorry.
My video as well is on there.
Her video as well. Yeah. Exactly. The orb that left her to go protect me because I saw some demonic presence in this field.
I was sitting there going, hello? And then this orb just flew out of me. This blue, bright blue orb just flew at me. Then next thing you know, Tommy's coming out of the darkness and his headlamp didn't work. And then I'm asking him, is your headlamp working? And, you know, he's like, get in the truck. I was like, because he wouldn't answer me as well. And I'm going, something's wrong with him. What's up? You know, and he's like, just get in the truck. You know, and I was like, time to go, boys. that was one of our first investigations.
That was,
we went to like four different places that night.
Yeah, actually. we were trying to find this old abandoned ghost town called Kerr City.
Yeah,
and
we will get there.
It's probably the most haunted place here, and we live in the,
not a lot of people know about it. I'm sorry.
We live in this town called Ocala, called Marion, the county's Marion County, and it's rated number one haunted place in Marion County, Central Florida, really. And
a lot of history.
And some guy bought the property from the family who originally owned it, and he kind of just
closed it down.
Oh wow!
So it's like a hidden. It's a hidden city, like not many people know about it.
Right. And we were trying to find it that night. And of course, if you ever research the Ocala National Forest, it's huge, huge. I mean, we're talking about rainbow people, woods people, all kinds of bears and cougars and black panthers and
wildlife,
you know, you name
Florida
it.
Florida wildlife.
You know, the rednecks. I mean, you name it, they're out there. And they're everywhere. And we're there at 2 o'clock in the morning trying to find this place. And we didn't find it, but we did catch some good stuff that night.
Where we were at. It was like we were right there, but it was all closed off.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, down that dirt. Yeah.
I know. I had, when I was working on my ghost story, we had a guy call from Texas, and he had some crazy video and pictures from the electric company was like next door to this graveyard. And after he talked to the people at the power plant, they're like, yeah, we've had weird stuff over the years. And he had like the most freakiest looking things. And my producers, they're like, they didn't believe it. So he never ended up on the show, unfortunately. But I remember him calling me at home. And he's like, dude, this is just crazy. I just went there and, you know, but it was just... you know, with all the electricity, the power and everything, and then next to possibly a graveyard could cause a lot of weird, you know how they say with, like if you look at, I can't think of the name of the place, in Colorado where they did the Shining, that's all limestone, is supposed to cause more paranormal activity. And that's why I was telling you about that ozone. I mean, I think it's ozone. I can't remember what it's called, but it basically puts out ice and ion. And you can buy them, or we built our own. But, you know, you can put more ions in the air to try to, you know, bring stuff up. We used one for a while, but we didn't really see a big difference in anything. So I think we kind of just got rid of it, but... you know, one of the places that you guys should try, and I want to go there at some point, if there's even a possibility of going, is Gettysburg. I've heard all kinds of stories of people seeing soldiers walk in the fields and stuff at night.
We're going.
We plan on it.
Troy, it's only like what, 8 hours up the street. So, yeah. It's, trust me, we're getting there.
Yeah, I wonder what it costs to go in there, or what they have to stay the night or camp. I know they have camping stuff during some time of the year where you can be in there legally.
Yeah, I don't go.
Tommy, don't go.
I don't go camping. I don't go camping. I watch too many horror movies.
I've done plenty of camping.
Yeah, no, I ain't getting.
I mean, I'm all about it. I love it.
Because I know the guys that do the reenacting, you know, they stay overnight, you know, camping out. And yeah, the stories of like seeing soldiers without heads or people just wandering around looking for someone, you know, and whatnot. So, I mean, that would be kind of a cool thing to do. I mean, me personally, I want to go to Europe and go to old castles from the 13th century, you know, and spend the night in the basement, or well, not the basement, but you know, the torture chamber or dungeon, you know.
You really need to go see the actually, you know, in St. Augustine, the old fort, you know, this whole old fort, like we were talking about the other night, you know, with the Spanish and the French were battling it out, and they had old torture chambers in there and stuff, mm-hmm. and like tunnels and stuff. You can go under and
Kids did that.
You go through the tunnel and it opens up into this big.
Right in there. Get out of there.
You know me, we were talking about that yesterday. I don't know if I want to go to Florida.
Yeah, it's definitely it's a different state.
It might mess me up. So, I'll come back like, oh man, what happened? I think I've seen one too many Walmart photos, you know.
Yeah, don't go to Walmart. Not go to Walmart. I beg you, do not go to Walmart, you know.
I mean,
it's a whole different breed of people there, I tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
When you see a 900-pound woman with a G-string on shopping, that's just too much. It's like, what's going on in Florida, you know?
That's paranormal itself right there. Yeah. So.
That's stuff that you never unsee, you know.
Troy, I have it, Troy. Let's just do it. You bring your equipment, come to Florida, fly out here. We'll get our equipment, and we'll just charge in there, okay? With videotapes, you know, there were camcorders going, the machines, the spirit boxes,
do it.
Everything. They'll be like, "What are you guys doing?" We are investigating the paranormal here. Move to the side. We got this. We got one right there, and some fat old. G-string. I don't know what he's wearing, but that's definitely, you know. So.
That would be
funny. It's a whole different place.
Get into the bottom of the weirdness of Florida Walmart, you know, documentary, you know.
I think they actually have, like, weddings at Walmart and stuff here.
Stop it.
They do.
Jesus. Stop it. I just get married at
a wedding in aisle 12?
We're right next to Ocala National Forest now.
I'd love to get married in a cave, but Walmart?
Well, me too.
I mean, you know, it'd be kind of...
Oh, I love caves.
Caves would be interesting. Yeah. I mean, I've never got to, you know, go into caves, but I know I did a couple of audio sessions from Destination Truth when they sent it back to me. And got to listen to a bunch of stuff from when they were in the caves with water and all this old, I forget what episode it was, but it was crazy in there. And I caught some cool voices, you know, but.
There you did.
Hey, were you on that episode in Destination Truth where they went to, I forgot where it was overseas, somewhere in Europe with the monster in the lake. What was it? The
Loch Ness?
Not the Loch Ness monster. Was it the Loch Ness monster? No, it was some other kind, another name for it. I watched it the other night.
I was on three or four episodes where I was actually on the show and talking, like on camera. After that, mm-hmm. I went behind the scenes and I was there from season 2 to season 3-ish, something like that, before it went off the air. And I did all the audio and everything. And then Josh Hayes and them started having, they're like, well, Sci-Fi wants us to use, you know, Grant and them and Jason to do it because we want to tie the shows together. I'm like, oh, okay. So Jason and Grant, well, mostly Jason, was doing my reveals for my freaking audio. It kind of made me mad, but
It's like, oh, yeah, that would make me mad.
I mean, I still got a pretty good check, but still, that was my... It just become discredited even more by those guys because they've been caught doing so many bad things and getting caught cheating, you know? It's like, ugh.
Not cool.
That's another reason why I've always wanted to do YouTube all my life. But I watch all these YouTubers, you know, and people who are making these paranormal videos and investigating. It's all fake. Mm-hmm. You can tell it's all fake. You know, I mean, you look around, there's, you can see props and strings and, yeah. You know, and just be real, you know, stop, you know, why are you pretending? Be real about it. You know, if you don't capture anything, you don't capture anything.
Right.
You know what? It's all about the narration, whoever's narrating the video,
okay.
The person who's filming and talking. And if you put the person's imagination into things, okay. And if you get the person, the people who are watching laughing or, you know, make it fun. Guess what? They're going to love it. Okay. Don't go out of your way to try to fake something that's not there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, you know, a lot of the YouTube stuff goes back to the TV stuff because they're all about, making money. It's all about the viewers to get your partnerships, to get your, you know, your ratings up, your likes, your views, so you can get sponsors and make money. You know what I mean? That's how they live. So they do whatever they got to do to make, you know, like I have partnerships with Microsoft and all kinds of stuff, but you know, of course I can't fake any of the stuff that I do for my videos because they're gaming, but it's like,
right.
If I was going to do a paranormal thing, maybe not so much faking stuff, but doing the right cuts to make it look more scary than what it really was with that scream, that last minute before you cut. And then you come back to like, wow, that was really freaky and never even go back to it, you know, and people are going, what the hell happened? You know, then your Twitter blows up because people are like, dude, you know, and it's like,
yeah, you keep hanging. Or what you do now is they'll do clickbait. You know, they'll put something in their thumbnail to make you want to click on it. There's nothing going on at all.
Right.
You know, but in the it's like the biggest, scariest thing in the world. You know, it's like, come on, you know.
Well, did you see that episode? I don't remember what episode or season it was of Ghost Hunters, but they started doing these cuts before a commercial of something really freaky. It was basically like one of them opening a door and one of the other team members was inside. But they were stalled,
you know,
and I'm like, really? You guys are going down to this already? You know, it's like,
really?
But it was enough to keep you watching for after the commercials to go back in. And I mean, like Brian, you remember when, dude, run. And at Western State or Eastern State Penitentiary. But then now he's on some show that's on Netflix. Oh God, I forgot what it's called, but he was a guest on one of their shows. And you could just tell that he was acting very suspicious with his audio and what he was doing. I'm like, yeah, they just lost all their credibility, you know, by having him on their show. It's like, it'd be like me inviting, you know, Jason and Grant. Grant left the show after they got in trouble. He's like, I don't want no part of this, you know? And I think Jason and a bunch of them continued on, but it's like, you know, it after the string thing with the jacket, the audio thing that they did with that wrestler dude and a couple other things, they were destroyed. You know what I mean? They messed up their whole thing, but they kept going. You know, there was still enough people to go like, nah, it was fake. You know, it wasn't fake. It's real or whatever. And it's like,
right.
Once they're a fan, you can do no wrong. You know,
there's a couple of YouTubers that I'm following and I watch. I watch religiously, you know, and it's like, how come everywhere they go and they upload videos every day and every place they go to, there's always poltergeist activity. There's always, you know, things, doors and slamming and stuff. And I mean, I don't think that's, I mean, every place you go to, there's poltergeist activity. I mean, I'm talking about where chairs are being flung. I'm not saying no names, but chairs are being flung across the buildings and, you know, and it's like, nah, it's all props. It's all props. It has to be, you know, I mean, maybe, I don't know, but there's a lot of fakery out there. A lot of people fake, you know, and we just want to be real as possible. You know, I think with me and Colleen and, you know, if we don't capture anything, guess what? We're going to make the video fun anyway, or and our podcast fun, you know, and people are going to watch and, you know, we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to make some, we're going to get some laughs out of people. And if we do capture something, guess what? Right on. You know, that's a win. Yeah. You know, either way, it's going to be a win. So we want to just put some good content out there for the people, do some investigations in people's houses, you know, their homes and businesses, and do their, you know, do an interview with them, and, you know, and also go around, like I said earlier, see the world, see the country, you know, and eventually maybe the world, you know. But we're going to grow this channel, and we're going to grow it and to be something pretty good.
Yeah, and that's definitely the way to do it, you know. It's, you know, do what you can and you know, just to have fun with it and enjoy it. I mean, I've done a lot of stuff in my life and, you know, I've done YouTube vlogs and gaming stuff and, you know, playing band stuff on YouTube. And but sometimes I get so busy that I don't have the time to do
right.
The work that's actually required to grow a YouTube channel. I know one of the people I watch is one of the really big YouTubers, Casey Neistat. And he's like, yeah, I don't even see my family anymore. You know, he was working so much to make himself, you know, and finally he's mellowed out so much now. He hardly ever does it now. And, but the work that you have to put in to get there to, you know, cause people are making a living. The reason to do YouTube is to grow your channel, to make a living from sponsors and guest appearances. You know, I mean, he gets flown all over the place, but he makes like, I forgot how many millions. It's way up there, you know. And then one of his companies he sold for like $20 million to, I forgot what company. He sold it to another big tech company. Just like, damn, dude, you know. But I looked up Paranormal on, was it Facebook yesterday? Or maybe it was YouTube. And everything was so cheesy. I'm like, yeah, this is not really, you know, it's... And for being in California, that was really hard for me because there's no places just to go. You know, there's no like old abandoned things out in the woods. There's no abandoned buildings anywhere. There's no cemeteries. You know what I mean? So I can't just go out and film every day something or once a week without, you know.
Florida does have plenty. But here's the other thing. You don't want to get trespassing either. You know, you don't want to get a trespassing warrant.
Right.
And that's why maybe hopefully, you know, us being on this channel, you know, this podcast with you and giving our contact information, like our email stuff, maybe someone here in Central Florida or somewhere has a haunted house they live in and they want us to go investigate and to see if we can capture anything, maybe put their mind at ease or, you know, or whatever, you know, maybe right. Something, you know, out of this, you know? So that's kind of where I think, I don't know if Colleen agrees, but kind of where we want to go with it. We have a bunch of stuff we've been talking about for the future with this and, you know, some projects we've been talking about. But the other thing is our podcast. We're definitely going to get that going.
Yeah.
Hopefully
within this month.
Yeah.
Hopefully by St. Patrick's Day.
So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we want to definitely get. Yeah. We need some investigations under our belt too. And, you know, we're getting there. So.
Right. Excuse me. Do you have any questions? Do you have any advice for us?
Don't do it. No, I'm just kidding.
Straight up. I mean, you all your experiences and everything you've gone through and everything, what advice would you give us starting out?
Ooh, God, it's been so long ago. You know, I think one of the things, like when we started out, we were like you. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know who to call or where to go. And the first place we called was the owner of an old cemetery in Pomona. And the guy was going to let us go in. And then he went up there before, I think he went up there to meet us. And then they found out that the place has been all vandaled. So then we couldn't go in because someone already went in there and vandaled the place. And I was like, well, so much for that, you know. But I think the best advice is just, you know, do your research, make phone calls, because all they can say is no. I mean, old hotels, you know, start doing We used to use Shadowlands a lot just to find places. And a lot of times it was just fake information, but then we could at least debunk it. If you look, there's a bunch of stuff from us where we went to place them like, this is fake. You're not allowed on the property. It's trespassing if you do. And, you know, because we would talk to the owners, we'd make those phone calls to talk to people, even with graveyards, because sometimes they don't care. If it's not like a big graveyard, if it's just like a little something, like in Boston, I was in Boston for something, and literally like every corner, there's like this old 1700s, you know, football, like double football field of cemeteries, like every other corner. And I'm like, holy crap, man, a lot of people died around here, you know, and, and you just walk right in because they're just open, you know, you just got to watch out for, you know, snakes and all that good stuff. But, but sometimes just the phone call, you know, and we did a lot of, if you look at a lot of our case stuff on our website, you can see where there's like hotels and stuff that we found that, you know, other people may have told us about from other groups. We used to look at other groups that were around longer than us on their website and see where they went. And then we did the same thing. Like we'd call that place and be like, hey, you know, we're a new group and we're looking to investigate. And usually they'd say, yeah, come on. When do you want to do it? So that was the other thing that we do. And I still do that today, even after all these years. If I get stuck and I can't, you know, if everybody's like, hey, let's go do something. It's like, well, let me see, you know, either you call people or you look at other groups in the area that's went to places and kind of make some phone calls, you know. It's it doesn't hurt, you know, to be able to further your stuff.
Yeah,
because other people have done that work already too, and it makes it easier for you to get your foot in the door if other people have been there, you know. When people left our group because they wanted to do their own group, basically, if you look at their page, they did the exact same stuff that they did in our group, because all they did was turn around and call all the places that we've already done and then went and did it themselves. The door was already open. Like, oh, hey, I know you guys, you know, made it a lot easier. But that is the biggest. You know, for us, when we started, we didn't worry too much about the gear. You know, we basically started off with tape recorders and that was it, and a flashlight. We didn't have you know, any K2 meters or any kind of EMF stuff. We didn't have DVRs, didn't even have a, well, we might've had an old, mini DV, camera like way back. And that, I think that was it. And still to today, when we go on investigations, I just take a tape recorder and a flashlight. I don't carry, you know, anything else. And I mean, now
old school, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Just old school, because I think a lot of that stuff gets in the way. Like, you know, we'll set up a DVR and we'll set up like 15, 20 cameras, depending on how big the place is. And that's about it. And I mean, we've built stuff. We've built our own live EVP station with special mics, and somebody could sit there and listen to that all night for noises or voices and point us in directions where things might be going on, but, you know, try not to rely on, you know, a lot of the equipment. I'm still that way, because I mean, it could set you back a lot of money, you know, especially if you watch too many ghost hunter shows and you're like, oh, wow, those people are using that. I have to get one of those. You know, I just told my friend that the other day. I was messing with her. She's like, oh, yeah, I have a ghost box. And I wrote her back. I'm like, ghost box? Question mark. She goes, oh, yeah, it's, you know, they had them on the whatever ghost show. And then she's like, but just don't look at the one from Huff Paranormal or something. And I just started laughing. I'm like, well, we really don't use any of that kind of stuff because you can't make it scientific. I mean, it's switching through AM or FM stations. So, yeah, you might hear words that you want to hear, you know. It's kind of not scientific by any means, but because they seen it on TV, they went and bought them, you know, and they spent thousands of dollars on stuff. And I'm like, eek, did it make you a better paranormal investigator? You know what I mean? It's kind of like, so that's why I'm like, always do the bare minimum. And if you find that you need something for some reason, then, you know, I mean, if you look at our old list, when we were at the top of our thing, we had tons of stuff. We had like a full rack mount of gear that went out with us for EVP stuff and video and live video. along with DVRs. Mm-hmm. And it took like two trucks to bring our stuff, pickup trucks. We had so much junk. And it was like, you get there in the afternoon and set all that crap up. And it's like, you know, this really sucks. And then you come home and you're like, well, we got about 400 hours of audio and video. So when do you guys want to start watching and listening? You know,
right.
And it became too much, and it's like, no more, you know. It's I know we only have, I think I sold almost everything on my website. I think all we have now is a DVR. I don't even think we have a K2 or a tri-field or anything anymore. Just tape recorders, 8 tape recorders and a DVR and a flashlight. And we might have a camcorder around here, but that's kind of like the old school. Let your body feel what's there, you know, let your senses kind of get an idea, you know, and, that's kind of how I've always been. I'm that person that just goes in and can feel when something's not right. Even though I've closed myself off a lot since I got attacked, but I can still feel if it's really negative, then I can feel it, you know. But if it's,
I'm the same way. If I feel it's like too not good, I don't have good feelings, and yeah.
You send Tom in first.
Yeah, that's where I come in.
So, something feels bad, you should go in first.
I'm her shield. So
I try to do the tactic of just jumping in, you know, ha.
No, I'm going to call them out.
It's like a haunted house. I'll just run through, scare them first.
Prove to me you're here. Push me, hit me, do something.
All of a sudden, the cross comes out with the holy water, but the power of Christ compels you as you're going through the house, going, yeah, this place, you know.
That's funny, Troy.
And then, you know, roll in the old lady and be like, this house is clean. Be like, all right, we're out. That'll be $12.99, please. You know?
Right. Exactly. And then I'll be the psychic, you know. I just want to let you know that a family member's here, they're looking down on you.
They're
telling me that right now. They're saying they love you. They're with you.
See that?
They're always with
you. That's kind of always the funny thing.
Right, I'm a psychic now.
No, you're not.
Tom the psychic.
And that's what makes it so hard to prove stuff because
there's a lot of fakers, but,
No.
I was telling Tom. I used to teach a class in college. The professor, I forget what the class was called, but it dealt with like legends and ghosts and all kinds of stuff like that. And she'd always have us come in a couple of times a year and do our paranormal stuff and talk about cases and stuff. And one time they did have a psychic and they had us there, and the psychic did her thing, and after the psychic left and the kids were asking questions, and she goes, well, it's really easy to do. And she picked someone from our team that she didn't know, but she shown us how to do like a quick cold reading and some other stuff. And she got like 90-something%. And I was like, damn, you know, I'm like, oh, so those are the places that are on the side of the road that says palm reading, you know, or something.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, shouldn't you have known that I was coming in? And I told the lady at this class, I'm like, you know, well, how about this? And she's like, well, it doesn't work that way. Well, how about this? Well, it doesn't work this way. I'm like, well, what do you do? You know what I mean?
Can I have the lot?
Right.
Can I have the lotto? You know, it doesn't work like that. Well, how does it work? You know, prove to me, you know. I have a feeling that, okay, there's a dead relative right now. Oh, my God, my grandmother died. Well, yeah, she let me know that, you know.
Right. But, I mean, people would rather hear, and this is where the crossover kind of thing happens, where instead of them, you know, like for us going in and being like, you know, we didn't catch anything, no voices, no nothing. But if you have someone that's sensitive or something and tells the people, oh my God, your loved ones are here and they're here with you, and they're going to want to hear that. They're going to, no matter what, if it happened or not, you know what I mean? It's kind of, that's what makes it so hard to prove, because it's like, until they figure out how to put like a USB, you know, something in your brain to see what you're seeing or hear what you hear, it makes it really, really hard. You know, like I said, we have someone on our team that's like that, but she doesn't use that when she's on investigation with us. She used it when she was with other teams, but I'm like, don't tell us anything. Just write it down. And then at the end, let's see if you even come close to anything that you said you've seen or heard. And usually nothing. I don't think we ever, everything that she's seen, we never seen. Anything she heard, we never caught on audio. So I'm like, she's like, huh. I'm like, I don't know, you know, but every team, that's whatever they do, you know, like Kathy was like, you know, don't give them a hard time about it. And I'm like, this is a different kind of show. You know, they're not on, it's not like they're on my team where it's like, oh, well, we don't do that. You know what I mean? It's like, it's talking about what they do, not what, you know, what we do and, you know, on our team or whatever, but it's just one of those things. There's so many teams that do so many different things, you know, it's like, I've seen some crazy videos out there of stuff that people do
on
investigations. I'm like, wow, where did they come up with that? You know? And it's like, well, you know, everybody's got something, you know? And, I mean, we've even tried, cause me being a tech person, my brain's always kind of rolling with stuff. And we were in this super old theater from like the early 1900s, and it was closed down for like forever. And they were just getting ready to redo it to turn it into a club. And the guy that was taking care of it allowed us in there a bunch of times. And God, we had some really freaky stuff. We had a couple things answer us back. When we asked it, like, what color does it like? And it said yellow. So there's a lot of stuff like that. And I was like, I wonder what would happen if we're not there, but we left tape recorders overnight. So a lot of times I would call him like, hey, can you just open the door for like 10 minutes for me? And let me just run throughout the theater and place tape recorders everywhere. And I'll come back tomorrow. And every once in a while we get a little something here and there, but really nothing. And then I'm like, let me pre-record about 7 hours of audio and just copy it. Is there anyone here? Wait, anybody want to talk? You know what I mean? Like I did it like that. And then I just copied that section for 7 hours and put it on an audio as a speaker. And I put it in the building with all the tape recorders. So it was asking questions that way. Yeah, that didn't work either, but it was it was like one of those ideas that my brain works like, well, what else can we do? Do we have to be here to catch something? Will it just happen without anybody being here? If they're ghosts, are they walking around when we're not here? You know, does a tree make a noise when it falls in the forest? Kind of thing, you know? And yeah, I kind of proved myself, you know, what I thought really, it didn't work. You know, I was like, damn, you know, cause that would have been cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, let me just drop this off. And this audio is going to ask questions all night. We don't need to be there, you know, and just walk away. But yeah, for some reason, it seems like we have to be there. You know, either it's working off of us or it needs the interaction. Maybe it needs the or energy, you know, but it's, I don't know. I'm like that. I like to try to think of new ways to kind of do stuff sometimes too.
Yes, yes, yes. We definitely.
But yeah, I mean, For you guys, I'd definitely, like I said, I'd look up some of the other groups and, you know, your area and see what kind of stuff they've been doing. And that will give you more under your belt, you know.
Yeah, we appreciate your input.
It's definitely, I mean, that's how I started. So, you know, everybody's got to start somehow to you know, if you guys lived here, then I'd be like, oh, you know what, I'll take you to so-and-so and over here and over there. But unfortunately, you guys are 4 hours flight from here.
Is it 4 hours? That could be. Yeah, I think 4 hours, 4 or 6 hours, something like that.
Yeah, I think it's four for the East Coast. Well, you guys are not really the East Coast, are you? South? I don't know. What's that considered? The South? Southish?
Southeast.
Southeast?
Yeah, Southeast. Actually, you know what's crazy? Florida is really not even considered the South. Even though we're in the South, they consider anything by that Dixie line, you know, the South, like Georgia, Kentucky, West Virginia, Alabama, that they consider that the South. Florida is like its own little, you know, little own thing, you know. But what we do want to do is tell you, Troy, is we really are very, very happy and to come and have met you guys. I mean, you guys, you and your wife have been just absolutely awesome.
I adore her. I just adore her.
Yeah, Colleen adores your wife.
I love her.
I mean,
she's great.
You guys are a trip.
We always try to help people. You know, that was one of the things that we've always done is we've helped a lot of groups get started. And, you know, we even give them documentation, forms to fill out for their clients. I mean, we do a full, when we do a house investigation, we do a full psych write-up. Like we have all these forms they have to fill out. Medicines that they're on, you know, mental status. This is stuff that you need to know because otherwise you're walking in kind of blindly. But we used to give all that stuff away to everybody. We're like, here, this will get you started. And here's a list for this. And here's some paperwork for that. And there was a lot involved. Right. It went from just going to some place to like, okay, here's all this paperwork. Now this, you got to keep, you fill this out throughout the night. And here's an EVP list. And here's this. And here's that.
Right.
And this is for the owner to sign, and this is in case the cops come and you're not here. This is that paper's okayness to be on your property. And I mean, we had everything. And somewhere I still have it on a hard drive, I hope. Because there's no way I'll remember how to create all that stuff because that was a lot of different people in, you know, input over the years of putting all that together. But it's, you know, it's kind of like one of those things where... we didn't ever, you know, helping other people out was what we did. You know, we started a lot of different groups, helped a lot of different groups. I went on investigation with other groups to help them out and stuff. So, you know, it was always fun to do.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it was funny how we kind of, you know, how we got started doing this and how we got started. We've always been talking for years now, me and her, doing a podcast together and stuff like that, but we really didn't know what to really get into. And it was funny because we they had a my family threw a benefit race for me for the cancer and stuff like that, and then they're right next door to the property. You heard you watched the YouTube video of the races and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, next door is an old Civil War graveyard. Okay. In 3 years I wouldn't even look over there. So Colleen's like, would you go in the grave? It's like, it's nighttime, you know, it's late. I was like, yeah, I'll go in the graveyard.
You won't do it.
Yeah, I was like, you know, no, I'll do it. And I surprised her. I walked in there, and we were just walking in there, just looking around, and she had her Snapchat going. Mm-hmm. And we had a bunch of EVPs, you know, and she played it. She goes, oh, my God, you got to hear this. And I'm like, what? I caught all kinds of voices and stuff. I'm like, really? So, and that's kind of how we kind of were like, well, started up because we were talking about doing like conspiracy theories or, you know, medical mysteries or whatever it was on a podcast. But
I work in the medical field, so I'm all about it.
Yeah. And so we just said, you know,
yeah, I work for 20 doctors, Troy. I'm delirious. But I love my job. I love it.
Abandoned hospitals are pretty fun. We've been to a few of those.
I love those.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's how we kind of like, well, let's do this. And that's how we came. And we came up with a name. And Colleen's an amazing artist. Oh, my God. She's amazing. She's drawing the logo right now. And so, like I said, building the website. And we're going to build this channel and build this thing and keep growing it and growing it and see where it goes.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's definitely a fun thing, you know, get everything going and started. And then before you know, you'll be doing what I'm doing.
Exactly. So, you know, but yeah, so like I said, I think we've grown the Instagram to a major number within just within a month, really, maybe a month and a half. You know, we have now over 1,200 followers and every one of them are great. Every one of our followers are great. So
we get a few scragglers that just want to say some negative stuff, but
you know,
pay any attention to that.
So. So, and, you know, basically I'm just we've been posting pictures and stuff, and we really like to have a little fun game on there to see if what everybody thinks is this fake or real, you know, and try to get everybody, try to get everybody's opinion. Everybody has great engagements and we get along with everybody. And, you know, and that's what we've been doing. And soon here, we'll start having our videos up on, you know, on YouTube and online and stuff. So,
yeah,
which will be great.
And the podcast will make it roar.
And the podcast will, like she said, make it roar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool, man. It sounds like you guys definitely have a lot of work in front of you. That's for sure. You know?
Oh, we do. Yep. I'm ready. I'm ready.
I'm up all night, Troy.
He is.
I'm up all night. Posting stuff, engaging,
talking to people, 4 or 5 in the morning.
Oh yeah, you know, wife will get on there and she's, you know, it looks like a bowler. I'm like, it does, Kathy. Oh my God, it does look like a bowler. She's a good, you know. So it's just, yeah, you guys have been great. You guys have been great. So,
well, do you guys have any other questions you want to ask me before we kind of start wrapping up, or?
No, that's it. Though. Just really, this has been a great conversation. I hope your viewers had a great time listening, and hopefully we gave them some laughs. And if there's anybody in the Central Florida area, around Marion County area, Central Florida, really, if that, you know, if you have a house that's haunted or a business that you want us to come and investigate, we'll be more than happy, you know, during the weekends to come in there and do an investigation and get a nice little interview from everybody and see where it goes and see what we can do.
Well, on that note, I want to thank you guys for being here, and I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Into the Unknown with your host, Troy Taggart. Yeah, you know. And if you guys would like to be on the show, just send an email to info@wcprs.org. And we'll see what we can do for you guys. And again, thank you to Tom and Colleen for being on the show. And we'll see you guys next week. Have a good one, everybody.